Book of Philippians, we're going to go to chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to focus on verse 27. If you've got your Bibles with you, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. This is what he says in the NIV version, okay? Paul writes to the church in Philippi and he says, whatever happens, everyone say it with me, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Wow. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Martin Luther King said, if you cannot fly, you run. If you cannot run, you walk. If you cannot walk, you crawl. But whatever you do, in other words, but whatever happens, you have to keep moving forward. Amen. And the gospel is all about moving forward. Whatever's happened to you in the past, it's done. You know, so many times we walk around with so much guilt in our heads and we walk around with so much shame. But the gospel is actually different to that. The gospel is all about us coming to Jesus and Him washing us clean. Amen. So when we believe the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm here. Please, Lord, change me. Please, Lord, speak to me. Please, Lord, renew me. The Lord begins to work in each and every one of our lives. Amen. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says to the church again, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. So when we say to the Lord, Lord, I'm here, He started that work in you. So I want to start by saying this, each and every one of us, we're a work in progress. Amen. We're not finished product, we're not finished article. We are work in progress. And if we are work in progress, believe me, God will finish His work. Amen. The fact that we all sat here this afternoon in this building is no coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in God incident. The fact that God has brought us here together shows that God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of His lives. But with that plan and purpose comes this whole aspect of obedience and faithfulness. Amen. The whole idea of God having great plans and a purpose for each and every one of our lives sounds great, but there are some conditions to it. Yes. Amen? And the conditions are, we have to be consistent in our faith. We have to be faithful to the call of God in each and every one of our lives. And Paul here writes to the church, listen, whatever happens in your life, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Whatever happens, keep pressing on. Whatever happens, keep moving on. Whatever you did yesterday does not matter. It's forgotten, forgiven. Now this is a new day. Now you have to keep pressing on. You have to keep moving forward. Amen. Paul starts by saying you have to keep moving forward. Whatever happens. This is such a powerful statement from a man who understands the importance of living a transformed life. Paul understands the importance of living a transformed life. You see, Paul urges the believers not just to believe and preach the gospel, but to actually live the gospel. Amen. There's a difference. There's a difference between preaching the gospel and believing the gospel, but living the gospel is a completely different thing. And you know, his Damascus experience, as we all know, Paul, he was known to be a very brutal man. Yeah. Hear me correctly, he was known to be a brutal man in the Christian community, but in the religious sector, he was a very respected man. Yeah. Everybody knew Saul. He was a well-respected, he had loads and loads of qualifications. Everybody knew him. In the Far Eastern circle, he had a good name. But on his way to Damascus, he was very zealous about saving the traditions of the time. He was very zealous about actually holding on to the teachings that the fathers passed on to Saul. But when this new Jesus movement started, Paul was a bit confused. So who are this new group? They confess that Jesus is Lord. Like, this is blasphemy. What's happening here? So Saul, being a good Jew at that time, he was very zealous of keeping the tradition. So what did he do? He's on this mission of stopping this message. So he's on this mission to actually stop all the Christians meeting together and worshipping together. So on his way to Damascus, he has this radical encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He has this radical encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that changes everything for him. You see, Paul, his Damascus experience changes not only his beliefs, but it changes his behaviors. Amen. And I want to say this, our beliefs should always bring about a change in our behaviors. Not just our thinking, not just our perspective, but our behaviors, how we live. So the title of my sermon this afternoon is Gospel gospel-centered living. Gospel-centered living. See, I want to teach you a new word this afternoon. Environment. Everyone say it with me. Environment. We all know environment, don't we? Environment. E-N-V-I-R-O-N-M-E-N-T. I want to make sure that I get it right. Environment, okay? But I want to teach you a different word. Environment. You see, environment is what is happening around us. Okay? You cannot change what's happening around you. You cannot change what people say about you. You cannot change what happens to you. But you can change what's happening in you. Amen? You have the power to change what's happening in you. So, environment is all about what is happening inside of you. Okay? So, gospel-centered living is not only about what's happening on the outside, what we do on the outside, but it's all about what God is doing on the inside. Maybe there are some grudges. Maybe there's some issue of unforgiveness. Maybe there's some issue of bitterness. Maybe there's some issue of jealousy, envy. Do you know the things of the past that we're probably holding on to? I believe God wants us to be set free today. Amen. I believe God wants to give us the ability to let go of what we're holding on to of the past. So environment is all about what is happening inside of us. Paul says to the church, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. You see, what the author is really trying to say to the believers in Philippi is this: discipline your life and have boundaries. And I want to say this to the church this afternoon: let's discipline our lives and let's have boundaries. Do you know Smith Wigglesworth, a British evangelist from Yorkshire, not far from here actually, he was an influential figure in the early history of Pentecostalism. God used him mightily in the ministry of healing, Smith Wigglesworth, and this is what he said. He said, the reason the world is not seeing Jesus is because Christian people are not filled with Jesus. Wow. The main reason why the people of the world is not seeing Jesus is because Christian people are not filled with Jesus. And he continues by saying this: they were satisfied with attending meetings weekly, reading the Bible occasionally, and praying sometimes. It is an awful thing for me to see people who profess to be Christians yet are lifeless, powerless, and in a place where their lives are so parallel to unbelievers' lives that it is difficult to tell which place they are in, whether in the flesh or in the spirit. Wow. You know? The reason why people aren't seeing Jesus is because we're not filled with Jesus. The reason why people aren't seeing Jesus is because we're not living the gospel-centered lifestyle. See, there are certain places, I believe, we have to stay away from this year. Let me start by saying Facebook. Some of the things that get posted on Facebook and some of the conversations that we shouldn't be getting involved in, we get involved in. Then after we say some of the things we say, we're like, hold on, why did I say that? Then you can't do it because the whole world's just seeing what you posted on your Facebook. Instagram. A lot of marriages are breaking these days. Why? Because they meet someone on Facebook. A lot of relationships aren't working these days. Why? Because they met someone on Instagram. The whole aspects of loyalty, the whole aspects of being faithful to your husband, the whole aspects of being faithful to your wife, the whole aspects of being faithful where God's planted you. Sadly, when you look at the world, it's no more there. Why? Because people aren't filled with Jesus. Because there is no conviction in their hearts. Pornography, that's another thing. I've seen many ministers fall into this trap. I've seen many youngsters fall into this trap. Pornography. I've seen lots of marriages breaking down because of pornography. I don't know if you know this story, but the worship leader of the group Hillsong, and he wrote the song Healer. I believe you're my healer. But there was a news where he was diagnosed with some disease and sickness. And what he was doing was he used to go to this room and spend a lot of time on his own, away from the family. And the family thought maybe he's recovering, maybe he needs a bit of rest. But it turns out that every time he was going to his room, he was watching porn. And he was cheating on the whole family. He was married, he had kids. But he was locking himself up in this room, watching porn. And he made this whole news saying this. He was sick, and he wrote this song, Healer. And that is a sad reality. He repented, and now he's in a good place. Praise God for that. There is grace, amen? There is grace. But at the same time, that can be prevented. Amen. That can be prevented. A lot of relationships don't work because of the same issue of not being faithful. And a lot of people, same with church, we have to be faithful. We have to be faithful to Jesus Christ. We have to be faithful to His church. We have to be faithful to one another. We're running this race together. There is no I, there is no me in this race. Each and every one of us, we're in this boat together. And we're heading towards what Jesus Christ has got for us in the future. And for each and every one of us to fulfill what God has placed in the heart, we need to work together as one. The whole book of Philippians is actually about unity. We have to be in unity. We have to be in unity. It doesn't matter, regardless of our indifferences, regardless of our of having difference in age and all that sort of thing. We have to come together as one. Amen. We have to be very careful, not just with our bodies. Okay? We have to be very careful where we go, not just with our bodies, but also with our eyes and ears. See, I believe we have two spiritual doors, eyes and ears. Whatever you see, you receive it in your life. And whatever you hear, you receive it in your life. Okay, so if someone's constantly speaking negativity over your life, guess what? It's doing something in you. If you're constantly watching the things that you shouldn't be watching, guess what? It's doing something to you. If you're constantly hearing the same thing, if you're constantly watching the same thing, something isn't right. I know bringing about a big discipline, rooting in our lives is difficult, but we have to start somewhere. I have to start somewhere, amen? James Clear in his book Atomic Habits, this is what he says: tiny changes will bring remarkable results. Tiny changes will bring remarkable results. The reason why we struggle to get stuck into a discipline routine is because we set ourselves big goals and big challenges. Start small. I know a lot of people who struggle with reading their Bibles. I know a lot of people who struggle with praying. I know a lot of people who struggle with just listening to sermons and sitting in church. It's difficult for some. Okay, but you have to start somewhere. Remember a person, and that person was very passionate about Jesus. That person was very passionate about following God and following the call of God in his life. But what happened was he took on his place something that wasn't right for him. And me and Andrew and a few other guys, we had this conversation actually a few days ago about being obedient to what God has for you rather than adapting something of someone that you're not. So in other words, being truthful and authentic to the calling that God has placed in your life. And so many times we wear lots of different masks, and because we wear lots of different masks, we burn out. Okay, we wear this church mask, we wear this family mask. When we're in church, we're all smiley, this and the other, but when we're with our mates, we're like, hey mate, what's going on? And all of a sudden, we change and we wear different masks. And the same thing was happening to this person as well. He was wearing lots of different masks. And in the process of wearing different masks, he somewhat forgot who he really was. He forgot what God had called him to do. And because he forgot what God had called him to do, that led from one thing to another, and before you know it, he crashed. And he stopped going to church. He stopped following Jesus. And it all started with him struggling to say no to what was not important. And can I just say this? We have to learn to say no to what's not important so we can say yes to what is important. Let me say that again. We have to learn to say no to what is not important so that we can say yes to what is important. I know each and every one of us, we struggle with time. I do. We all struggle with time. You know, we say, oh, I'm just too busy, like I'm struggling to find time. But can I suggest something? Rather than find time, why don't we make time? Amen? If we don't control time, sooner or later time will control us. The reason why a lot of families are having this issue of dysfunction and all that sort of stuff is because families are struggling to give each other time. Mom and dad, they're struggling to give time to their children. And children and kids, they're struggling to give their time to their mother and father. Mother and father's mother and father to each other, father's like, oh, like, you're not giving me enough time. Mother's like, you're not giving me enough time. Husband's saying to wife, you're not giving me enough time. Wife's saying to husband, you're not giving me enough time. And there's this whole issue of time. And the reason we all struggle with that is because we're letting time control us rather than us controlling time. And I believe God has given us authority to control time. We have to make time. We have to control time. Let me share this story with you, okay? There was this man, he was a businessman and he was earning a lot of money. And every time he was traveling abroad, he was making a lot of money. He was making millions, okay? And on this particular day, it was his son's birthday. But so it happens that he forgot his son's birthday. And he didn't say anything to his son. They're all in the house together. So the wife goes to the husband and says, "Love, like, don't you know it's your son's birthday today?" And he's like, "Oh no, it's my son's birthday today. Hold on, let me just go talk to him." So father knocks on son's door. "Son, can I come in?" Son's like, "Yeah, come on in." So father walks in son's room and the father's like, "Hey son, happy birthday." And son's like, "Yeah, whatever." And the father goes, "Son, what do you want for your birthday?" And the son goes, "Father, I just want to ask you a quick question. How much do you make an hour?" And father's a bit awestruck by what was asking him. So he says, "I make about £1,000 an hour, a lot of money." He says, "I make £1,000 an hour." Son goes, "Wow." And the father goes, "What do you want for your birthday, son?" Son goes, "Father, can I have £1,000? Okay, good thing to ask him. Did father give me £1,000? And father's like, "Okay, all right, let me give you £1,000. Father gives him £1,000, and father says to son, "Son, I've given you the money, but why do you need £1,000? Son goes, "So that I can buy an hour off you. So I can buy an hour off you. Father, for my birthday, all I want is an hour of your time. All I want is an hour of your time." How sad is that? But that is reality. That's what's happening. We're all in this race. We're all running. We're all running. But we don't stop to make time for one another. We don't make time for one another. But the gospel is all about stopping and making time for God so that he can speak to us. Amen. Jesus came down to earth. He stripped down to our level. And he made time for us. That is the gospel. And living a gospel-centric life, we need to stop. And we need to make sure that our family is in good place. We need to make sure that our kids are in good place. We need to make sure the youngsters, that mom and dad, they're in good place. We need to stop and make sure that we make time rather than find time. Amen. See, I believe, right, as I was preparing this, I really felt God say to me, like, "Dan, it's time to step up now. Time to step up," because sometimes we just always look to the leaders and expect leaders to do everything for us. Okay, the same with other things as well. You have something in your plate, okay, on your plate, and you know you can do it. And God even shakes you up and says to you, "Listen, you can do this," but we always wait for somebody else to do it for us. All right, and let me say this to each and every one of us today. God has called each and every one of us into some sort of leadership. Amen. Have you want to admit or not? God has called each and every one of us to certain aspects of leadership. Either that be leading your family, either that be leading your own life. Okay? God, living a gospel-centric life is all about living well. Living a gospel-centric life is all about living a godly life. Living a gospel-centric life is all about living a life that is of character rather than of charisma. We can all put on a great performance. We can all say the right words. But it's all about what is happening inside of us. The character. God wants to shape our character. God sees our character. And for me, these last few years has been a character shaping years. Like, I think none of us expected this whole pandemic to kick in, did we? But it just happened. But when it happened, it all shook us to a measure where we just didn't know what was happening. Where the church was heading, we just didn't know what was happening globally, we just didn't know what was happening economically, we just didn't know what was happening politically, okay? But God knew. God knew. And the fact that each and every one of us, whatever happened to us during the time of pandemic, I believe God was preparing us. Okay? For me, like, pandemic has been a very refreshing moment, although there was a lot of madness going around us, but inwardly, I really felt God was chiseling some of the areas in my life. And I don't know about you, maybe it was the same for you as well, where God was maybe using the chisel and shaping some of the characters and doing some of the spiritual works in your life. But certainly for me, it was. And when I look at the life of Paul understands the measure of chiseling. Okay? Paul understands that because he says, whatever I do want to do, I don't do it. And whatever I don't want to do, I do it. So there's this battle, and in a sense, he says to God understands and God knows. Okay? God knows. And in the same way, we might be in a situation where we say to God, God, it's just, I don't understand what's happening in my life right now. God, I just don't know where my life is heading on. But God, I just know that I can trust you. And even there are days sometimes where we don't feel like we can trust God because there is just so much happening in our lives. And I want to encourage each and every one of us today this. Trust God. Trust God. Yeah. In your head, you might be going through a lot of battles. In your head, you might be going through a lot of storms. And you might feel like nobody understands you. Let me tell you this, God does. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a godly manner. In other words, whatever happens, keep doing what is good. Let us not be wary in doing good, for in due season we will reap a harvest. We will reap a harvest. Faithfulness is so, so, so important. Discipline in our lives and having boundaries was one of the things, okay? The second thing was, we have to embrace challenges. We have to embrace challenges. Because when you live in a godly life, you will face challenges. When you live in gospel-centric life, you will face challenges. There will be lots of oppositions against you. But can I just say this? Take oppositions as an opportunity to growth. Amen? Oppositions as an opportunity to growth. For me, like, when I look back, there were times where I was ready to throw my towel down and say I've had enough. But the fact that I kept holding my towel, the fact that I kept doing what I was doing, is the reason why I'm standing here this afternoon. Amen? And I'm sure in your own personal life, but when you look back, I'm sure there were times where you did wanted to throw in the towel and say, do you know what, I've had enough. Anybody here? There were days for me, certainly. But I praise God that in those days, you know, when we hold on to what He's given us, we see supernatural things taking place. We see supernatural things taking place. Whatever happens, keep doing the right thing. Whatever happens, put yourself in a place where you continue to do what is right. Amen. And continuing on. See, everyone has potentials. Each and every one of us, we all have potentials. We all have great giftings. When I look around, I see a room full of people with great talents and great giftings. Some of us, some of you guys, you might have good musical abilities. Dave sings wonderfully. He puts new songs for us on Messenger Group every day. So David has musical abilities, and each and every one of us, Andrew is good with guitar, he's good with mechanic stuff, and each and every one of us, we're all gifted in different areas, okay? And what I love about the church is each and every one of us, we have different gifts and different talents, and when we come together, that is the kingdom of God. When we come together, that is the kingdom of God. But another sad reality about this is each and every one of us, we all have potentials, but if we don't do anything about the potential will remain a potential. For us to move past that place of potential and bring that potential into fulfillment, we have to do something in the middle. The whole idea of before and after looks great. I mean, I love the pictures, you know, like someone who, like the before picture, and after a few years they've done so wonderful in their lives and now they're successful. Like David Beckham, when you look at his before picture and when you look at his after picture, like he's done good for his football career, okay? But we don't see the things, the time that he had to do in the middle. The hours that he had to put in just into training. And the same with each and every one of us. We love this whole idea of before and after, but it's in the middle. What are we doing in the middle that counts the most? What we do in the middle that is important? And I was praying, as I was praying for, you know, our young generation and today's world, okay, I just felt God put this in my heart. And as I was kind of praying for church globally, I just felt God put these three things in my heart, and I want to share this with us all. The three categories that we have in the church, in today's church. Okay? There are those who have backslidden. There are those who have backslidden. Let me say this. There are those who have backslidden. They only go to church because their families force them to go to church. They only go to church because it's just like they want to look good. They are backslidden. Second category God showed me was there are those who have the desire to follow God, but yet don't know how to follow God. They have grasped something of God, but yet they don't know how to follow God. And the third category God showed me was there are those who are passionately following the call of God in their lives, but yet with polluted hearts. Yet with polluted hearts. They love God, but they need some accountability and some guidance. You know, and as I was thinking about these three categories, it was God really burdened my heart to pray for them. You know, and I was sharing a message yesterday in one of the Zoom meetings which we had, I was sharing this message, and I said to them, listen, you know, if your fire is going down, you have to be worried about it. You have to. Because if your fire is going down, and the more you compromise, before you know it, you'll be in that place where you'll be completely shattered. So much so you'll be burned out. And I was saying to ministers, listen, you know, whatever we do, we have to let go of performance. Because God is a God of relationship. Amen. God isn't a God of performance. Like, you know, we can perform well, we can look good on the outside. But like I said at the beginning of my sermon, it's not about the environment, it's about environment, what's happening inside of me. It's a gospel-centric life. When we see someone lifting up their hands, shouting hallelujah, praise the Lord, we think, oh, that's gospel-centric life. But can I just say that's not? That is not gospel-centric life. When storm comes against you, when the whole world is against you, and you have no strength within you, but you still you pressed on with the fire in you, that is gospel-centric life. Amen. That is gospel-centric life. Because your whole world is falling apart, you have no strength within you, but still you choose to serve God, still you choose to run with this faithful heart. That is gospel-centric life. When no one is watching you and you're in that room on your own, and when you go flick your phone and whatever you're doing and whatever you watch now, that is gospel-centric life. We can all look good on the outside, but what is happening on the inside, God knows, God sees. And can I say this? We say God understands, but sometimes God wants us to change our behaviors, and then He shows His grace to us. Then He shows His grace to us. Like I said earlier on, there are some conditions. We love this idea that God is love, and God is love. He is love. He's there for us. But there's also another aspect where we need to repent and come back to God. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Paul writes to the church in Philippi. You have to come to God. Why don't we all just close our eyes right now?